Ghana Statistical Service has revealed an average of 24% of Ghanaians experience poverty at all levels, with other 43% of poor people experiencing extreme poverty. These persons are deprived of quality living conditions, quality education, quality health and employment. In a bid to address the situation, a multidimensional poverty index has been developed for all districts in the country to guide implementation plans to tackle poverty.
The focus on income levels as a factor of measuring poverty has been identified as an inadequate metric to capture the multifaceted nature of poverty, including non-monetary indicators. To better reflect development priorities at the sub-national level, Ghana adjusted and contextualized the Global Multidimensional Poverty Index to include employment as a fourth dimension. The Dimensional Poverty Index assesses the simultaneous deprivation that are experienced by people in a locality based on the four dimensions of poverty and 13 indicators of poverty in a particular setting. The dimensions include living conditions, education, health, and employment. The 13 indicators, however, are toilet, overcrowding, cooking fuel, housing, assets, electricity, drinking water, health insurance, mortality, employment, school lag, school attendance, and school attainment. Head of Social Statistics and Coordinator of Data for SDGs at the Ghana Statistical Service, Umar Seydu, says district-level leaders are critical in targeted interventions for the allocation of resources, as well as assessing and evaluating local government development programs.
Poverty is experienced differently, and so poverty is multifaceted. And so in trying to address poverty, you don't only look at one area. You look at different aspects of poverty and tackled it from that in the country, and that is what we are disseminating to the leadership of the districts concurrently across the country today and tomorrow. So the goal is to ensure that they know, and then they can discuss how they can better implement their programs to support poverty intervention. So now we have some districts in Ashanti region where the multidimensional poverty is as high as 50%. And so whilst, yes, the regional average is good, you also need to look at the disaggregations and look at the district's experiences in terms of formulating policies.
The Ghana Statistical Service assembled metropolitan, municipal and district assembly heads in the Ashanti region. According to the 2021 population and housing census, around 18.3% of people in the Ashanti region are poor, with 42.8% of them intensively poor. Meanwhile, the Municipal Chief Executive for Ofurukrum, Abraham Anchi, says the new efforts of addressing poverty is more feasible with on-ground consultations with residents.
Provided already we have some form of engagement with our people. Before we do any intervention within the community, it's demand-driven. In other words, it has to be demanded before we do. How do we see this is what is being demanded? Through our community engagements with the people, with their elected representatives like the unit committee members, with the assembly members, with the traditional people, we are able to ascertain what sort of facility should go to an area. This is an additional source. This one is becoming an additional source of information for us to rely on.
The Ofurukrum municipality is ranked 6th out of the 43 districts in the Ashanti region in terms of people living in multidimensional poor households. Reporting for Joy News, my name is Clinton Yeboa.
Well, I've been joined by the government statistician, Professor Kwabena Enim, for more on this. Both share highlights of this survey in terms of which district is leading and which district is lowest on this chart, and also explain to us what this implementation guide is about.
Thank you very much, Aisha, and we are grateful to be part of this 12 o'clock news to further disseminate the 2021 PAC Multidimensional Poverty Index that is a maiden release for all the 261 administrative districts, as you indicated. So getting straight into your question, we identified the Asokwa municipality recording the least proportion of people who are multidimensionally poor, specifically about 6.3% of people who are living in multidimensional poor households. Then on the extreme end, we identified the Namdam district as having about 68.6% of people living in multidimensionally poor households. One of the reasons why we put out this is exactly what I'm sharing with you now, in terms of the steep disaggregation across the district. We should keep in mind that the only sustainable development goal that is nationally owned is the multidimensional poverty, which enjoins country to look at their own context and say that how do we want to define poverty, and also have in mind that poverty is an outcome variable. And what I mean by that is there are different deprivations that leads to poverty, and I'm happy you articulated the 13 indicators earlier on, and it's the manifestations of how properly we've looked at these 13 indicators that will tell us where we are in terms of multidimensional poor households. So both at the regional and the district levels, both at the regional and the national levels, we see proportion of households that one can say that they are not alarming, one can say that they're showing a downward trend, but if you look at it from the disaggregated point of view, we see such stark variations, as I said, 68.6% for the Namdam district, as again the 6.3% for the Asokwa municipal in the Ashanti region. Indeed, the top five districts that have the least number of poor households, number of poor people living in multidimensional poor households, are all in Greater Accra and Ashanti region. Four of them specifically are in Greater Accra and one is in the Ashanti region. And the bottom five, we have three of them coming from the Savannah region and two of them from the Upper West region. So these are the disaggregates that we think we need to highlight on. Going back to the 13 indicators that you highlighted, one of the key messages that we put out yesterday is what is for us to think about a balanced development. And what we mean by that is don't just look at one indicator as a district and say that I stand out very well on this indicator, because if you stand out very well on one indicator and the 12 others you perform abysmally, then it's an issue of concern. So all district operatives, sub-national leaders, we are inviting them to look at all the 13 indicators collectively and say to themselves that at least this is the minimum threshold that we expect that people in our district would achieve across all the 13.
Do you have specific recommendations for these 13 indicators?
Aisha, the way we've captured the 13 indicators are pretty much straightforward. And as I said, they are inputs and the poverty is the outcome. So for instance, if you take something like health insurance, which is one of the health indicators, it's pretty straightforward, as in looking at the enrollment rate within your district and ensure that you reach 99%, 100% when it comes to health insurance. If you take something like what we call in school bag, this is simply whether children, given their specific age, are in their expected class. So if you find that a lot of children within your district are behind the expected class, it's pretty straightforward on how to work on it to ensure that you do that. And the way you do that is making sure that you are looking at net enrollment and not gross enrollment, because gross enrollment will not be age-specific, net enrollment will be age-specific. And in addition to this, we've provided other indicators such as the net enrollment, which a district that is lagging behind in terms of having quite a number of children being behind the expected grade can look at that and ensure that they improve on the specific variable, which is school lag. So for each of them, from our perspective, it's pretty straightforward for the district level leaders to tackle each of the deprivations.
I'm grateful for your time, Professor Kwabena Enim. He is the government statistician. I've also been joined by the Chairman of Parliament's Committee on Poverty Alleviation, Benson Tongo Baba. Grateful. Your reaction to 24% of Ghanaians experiencing poverty at all levels, with over 43% of poor people experiencing extreme poverty.
Very much. Good afternoon to your listeners. For me, looking at it from the rural point of view, I will agree with him that the percentages, as he has indicated, may be correct, but it is a little bit low. I have not seen the report yet, neither has any member of the committee also had access to it. But I report that about 3 years ago, the Social Service and Poverty Reduction Strategy Committee have been collaborating towards finding solutions to the poverty down, there's no one percent. Poverty is very, very high. So 24% of people experience poverty at all levels, maybe too low. For the 43% of people experiencing extreme poverty, I think that one may be correct. And let me add that whatever they do, normally they are supposed to give us a copy so that based on it, we can have a discussion on it. And then we all know the areas that have been marginal increases or improvements in terms of trying to alleviate poverty. But look at the government flagship program of planting food for jobs. I have just returned from the north, and I can tell you that it has not made any impact due to extreme poverty levels and access to funds.
How does your committee intend to address this?
We can only address this if we have the report and then the appropriate ministries, like I'm talking about the planting for food and jobs, would definitely invite the Minister of Agri to come and brief us what the situation is on the ground and how they have been able to address it. You know, normally, from the government side, they can come out with very good reports and then tell you that they have done well. But I know that the Statistical Service has been very objective ever since we engaged them from the very onset, as well as the National Development Planning Commission. We have been working together to see that whatever is put out there becomes the true reflection of the situation on the ground. But this particular report, I have not been able to cite it, neither has any member of my committee seen it. So we just take it on the face value as you were able to give me the synopsis, and that is why I'm able to speak on it.
Well, my understanding from the Statistical Service is that they will be releasing district by district very soon. So definitely, I'm sure you will get one on your table. I'm grateful for your time.
What will happen is that since we have been collaborating, before they even go on air, at least we should have a copy. So that in a situation like what I find myself now, where you are asking me questions about how we see it, we should be able to give you also very concrete responses, because this is a committee of parliament, and that the committee of parliament should always speak on facts based on records.
I'm grateful for your time. Benson Babatongo is the chairman of the Poverty Alleviation Committee of Parliament. Earlier, you heard Professor Professor Kwabena Enim, who is a government statistician. Let's get on to other stories. Striking workers of the National Identification Authority have vowed never to return to work until their demands are met. This is despite an impending meeting with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission on Friday to engage leadership of the Public Sector Workers Union of TUC at the NIA. The workers are demanding a review of their allowances. It comes as hundreds of frustrated applicants are turned away at the headquarters of the NIA following that strike action, which began on Monday. My colleague Kenneth Jesse has been tracking some NIA officers in Accra.
10 days since the National Identification Authority embarked on a strike in demand for better conditions of service. Well, we're here at the national headquarters in Accra to gauge the mood of what is currently going on. Now, upon our visit, we saw scores of customers throng the place, most of them unaware that any strike has begun. They express their frustration that they need these Ghana cards so they can get a passport and subsequently travel. Others also need this card to get their bank documents intact. Well, they say they do not know what to do now.
I'm from Swedu. I came here to come and do Ghana card, but unfortunately when I get here, they said that they're on strike. And I'm from Swedu. I don't know that they're on strike, but I need the Ghana card for my passport and things, my bank issue and things. But now they said that I'm on strike. I don't know what to do. I go next Sabah.
How soon are you supposed to travel?
It's by next week here. Next week here, because I want to do. I will bring my best self so that I can do everything together, so that I can postpone my passport by next week. By next week. Latest Friday next week. That's it. But unfortunately, I don't know what I will do.
I traveled to Kumasi. I was back on this morning. Then I was trying to do the Ghana card. Look, I will travel by this month. So I need a Ghana card to do my passport and everything.
Do you already have a Ghana card, or this is your first time acquiring?
I have a Ghana card, but I lost my purse and everything on 10th April. Yeah, I was working then. They stole my purse and everything from me. So I just lost it. Then I come to do, like, replace another one. Oh, they told me to go and just a police report before they can do it. So I just went there this morning. Then I got the police report. So since I got here, they said they are on strike.
I have a Ghana card. Now, so Ghana card in my year. My head da wa wish office na makoho and mba ha yesi e cost like nti mi hu yesi na mini wan si de kura kura me me pa me Ghana card akọ banga kọ jiska yesi enye mame na de me ya wo mukura ne se mba yesi ahọhọ ofo de omo de etimi ya mom na ye tie ma yi mu de ye call so strike nti menti ase Ghana card nye se maya so odene e start ya na me ye me ye na wish mi timi sori anaju tu de bo koto lie e mi wiye ye se me nkoso otuom ya kire mo office bebre me kọ eso still mi nyame Ghana card na yesi me mrashi ahye na so me buy a yesi e cost right nti na be den me didi bank wa me kwa eso so msi mi nkura Ghana card ya yam fa mi sika mame.
The seats here will ordinarily be filled to capacity on a normal day, but today you barely see people seated on them because the workers are not around to assist them. Although we're told that foreigners can come and access the facility and get their Ghana cards printed for them or worked on for them. But with the Ghanaians, the personnel to do it for them are on strike. We have no indication yet when they will resume work. From the NIA headquarters in Accra, Kenneth Jesse for joining.
Well, TUC's representation at the NIA says they will not back down until issues regarding the allowances are addressed. Listen to John Sampa, who is Deputy General Secretary of the Public Sector Workers Union NIA Division.
We have received some few calls from National Security. The National Labour Commission has also invited us for a meeting today at 11. We strongly believe that we should be able. Of course, it is already a warning that if it is to just order the workers to go and work, the truth is that we will not be able to do that. But where government is committed to meet us halfway and to make sure that our concerns are attended to, address, where justified something is given, and where it is not possible, we are pleaded with to actually understand the situation. Obviously, we are ready to compromise, but not to actually leave the negotiation room with empty hands.
Okay, so when you say not empty-handed, give me your top three priorities that you will not leave the negotiation table without.
Oh, as I have told you that we are looking for at least some few institution allowance. If we can get even one, but the percentage is very high, like 40%, of course we may be okay. If we can get two, and we have about 20, and maybe 30, maybe having 40 or 50, we are okay. The truth is that I have not brought all the issues that we are negotiating on. I have put them together and called them institution-specific allowance. Now, we believe that when we meet with the fair wages, we'll be very objective and open-minded, and we will listen to them. We will also want to put our case across. And I strongly believe that with national security, maybe with the Flaster House involvement, we should be able to get a compromise and resume to our work.
Look, Roundup Investment Holders Forum is picketing the Finance Ministry for the second consecutive week in demand for their locked up funds at NDK Finance and three other deposit taking institutions. The group's request for an audience with the Finance Minister or his deputy to express their demands has failed to happen. The group is demanding the Bank of Ghana and Finance Ministry declare as insolvent and revoke the licenses of NDK Financial Services, Bond Savings and Loans, SIC Life Savings, and Loans and SCC Financial Services. The four deposit-taking institutions that have failed to release their funds to them. Listen to members express their frustration. Well, my colleague Kenneth JC, who's been following this, has joined us via phone. Kenneth, tell us more about this picketing.
Well, Aisha, this picketing is, a planned picketing that they've been doing every Wednesday to demand for the release of their funds at the four deposit taking institutions that you mentioned. They started from NDK Finance, which is one of them, and then ended at the Finance Ministry. Now, when they go to the Finance Ministry, two officials from the ministry met them and then ushered them into the room, had a few chats with them, and the lead convener came back to tell us that they mentioned to them that the minister and his deputy are engaged in a meeting outside the Finance Ministry and will attend to them if the meeting finishes before 12, because they usually finish their picketing at 12. By midday, the Finance Minister nor his deputy did not get back to them. So by midday, they had dispersed, and they're saying that they're going, they'll be back again next Wednesday, and every other Wednesday till November, where they will break for the Christmas and resume until their funds are released to them.
Can I just say, with that update from the Ministry of Finance, we'll bring you more in our subsequent bulletins on this. But government says it has reached an agreement with its official creditor committee on that treatment. Let me share more with you on what the situation is currently, and from a statement that an MOU that has been released, and it's coming right there on your screen, says the Ministry of Finance reaches an agreement with official creditors. It regards the treatment agreed upon in January 2024. It formalizes the agreement and principal rates with official creditors in January 2024, and it is a crucial step towards receiving the second tranche of IMF financing of $360 million. Each official creditor is yet to sign the MOU according to their internal procedures. Ghana will then engage each creditor to implement the agreed terms, and it means the bilateral agreements are yet to begin. A step towards access to second tranche of IMF financing, that's the benefit from this MOU we are talking about, and it's access to more financial assistance from development partners. How much Ghana wants to restructure? Yes, of course, it's $5.4 billion official creditors only. That's how much they're restructuring. And for external debt restructuring, we're asking whether that's all. The answer is no. This is just engagement with one group, the official creditor also, and the bilateral creditors. The other group is the commercial creditor group, or the Eurobond market. Ghana is engaging them as well. Well, Professor of Finance at the University of Ghana Business School, Professor Lord Mensah, says this will have a dire effect on the already struggling economy.
It's tied to the release of the IMF debt tranche, the $360 million that is expected. And the signal that we've gotten on an MOU with them, I mean, tells you that yes, there's something good coming. And that is why possibly we've started seeing some, you know, temporal stability in the exchange rate on the market. And so, I mean, you know, the exchange rate as we speak now has been, it's been managed, I mean, mainly by the inflows that we're expecting from this IMF program. So far we've not put up any structural, you know, short-term measures that will, you know, ensure that we get, you know, the exchange rate stability. But, I mean, effectively, once we have this agreement, happening, that it has been announced. The signal is positive, and that's why we see this stability, the temporary stability in the exchange rate.
Roads and Highways Minister Francis Atensobuache has disclosed that the much talked about deplorable Wabole Bamboi Road will be fixed in two-way prong approach. He explains the strategies to first fix the bad portions of the road, mostly riddled with gaping ports and manholes, and later put asphalt overlay over to make it a first-class road. Speaking in Wa at the start of his tour of the five northern regions, where he paid a courtesy call on the Wa overload, now for saying he said Purple, he pledged government's commitment to fixing the road as a parting gift from the president to the people of the Upper West region.
Immediately he stepped into the living room of the over century-year-old Warner's Palace, Francis Asensobuache, to start his official tour of the five northern regions. He was welcomed with a traditional kola, which he chewed with perfection. He was accompanied to the palace by Finance Minister Amin Adam Anta, who first had a taste of the bitter cola, and for Asensobuache to probably learn the rudiments of the tradition of his distant kinsmen from him. The excitement and laughter simmered down and paved way for the Wala overlord, now for Senator Pilipo IV, for his umpteenth time to open up on his most pressing need, the Bole Bamboi Road, an albatross that hang on the necks of all governments.
The deplorable nature of the road makes traveling on it a nightmare in the true sense of the word. A journey from Wa to Kumasi that should ordinarily take a maximum of 6 hours now takes a minimum of 15 hours. The frequent breakdowns on the road of almost all vehicles traveling on it are as a result of the bad road. This has raised the cost of maintenance to both private and public sector transport operators astronomically. This has a direct effect on the welfare charged by operators of commercial vehicles. Our farmers incur incalculable losses in transporting their produce, especially perishables.
Francis Asensobuache's response was simple and straightforward. He came on a Fiat laid beneath his long shirted sleeves, with the rehashing and unwavering commitment of the President of the Republic to fix the deplorable deplorable Bole Bamboi Road before the end of his reign. The road minister conceded that the road has been on the budget of all finance ministers since the days of yore.
I'm actually very surprised, because as a young boy, listening to budget statement, budget speeches, department, even Kwesi Boutwe used to talk about Bole Bamboi. All the subsequent finance ministers today, that tells us that it is very important. The president indeed pledged that will be his parting gift for Wana and the good people of the Upper West region.
He disclosed two ways the road will be fixed.
And in their over 50 years of existence, the school, despite excelling in other academic activities, have failed to engrave their name and reputation at the National Science and Maths Quiz. They will be joining Samolotu Presby SHS and Achuranswa SHS to represent their Hafo region in this year's championship. Emmanuel Baikriku has a wrap of their Hafo regional qualifiers.
By my first 2 degrees is just above 3 dozens. The sum of my first 2 degrees is 10. And so who am I? Yes, sir, what can I say?
375.
Exactly.
It was a desperate move by the Sawakesi girls to break their 5-decade jinx and bring glory to their school. A after suffering a painful defeat last year, the school, in a revengeful contest against their female rivals, Black Girls KRC, triumphed over their contenders with a 10-point margin. Just as their school's anthem urges them on not to give up, the girls from Joyan Kwanta are making their debut appearance.
I feel very proud of myself and my school. I'm very happy.
I know the excitement in there. How did you feel on stage when you were called out that you were going to the nationals?
So in fact, I was so happy. Then now we prayed. We said, "Thank you, God."
Okay, so last year you came out of, you met Sarah Ola Girls Kenya, and they kicked you out. How did that feel? I'm sure you were part of the team when they came around.
Yes.
How did you feel?
So the experience is not nice at all, but it encouraged us. The next year we were going to come back and do better, so we came back and that was what we did.
Okay, last year your letter were negative.
We wanted to leave them with negative number, but we couldn't. We gave them 7. It's okay for them.
They will be representing the Ahafo region with 2-time national participants Samuel Otu Presby SHS and Atresia SHS.
So Samuel Otu just made it yet again to the nationals of the National Science and Math Quiz. It actually took them the last riddle to qualify to this national tournament. They were being led by Ahafuman SHS, but managed to edge past them by just a point.
We are ready for the battle, and we are going to conquer them. Yes, we are going to conquer them like we are driving the like ball. You see, this year our weapons are ready, so they prepare for us. Lions are coming. Lions are on the way coming.
At the final round, we were just depending on God. Everything was God on our heads, in our heads, and God really helped us.
We're so close to them, like we didn't have any hope of scoring again, but by the grace of God, we're able to succeed.
Akunini.
Again, Sada.
Akunini.
Again, Sada.
It's a very nice experience, though it's our first time, but we thank God for seeing us through.
You meet them 64 Sunyani SHS.
Let me use this opportunity to tell the Sunyana, you know, we are not afraid of them, and every time we meet them, we beat them.
You've met them already,
like previous trials, like let's say 2021. But we are not afraid of
looking at his performance, I believe that he can do better than this one.
Chaser SHS, and hopefully they are hoping today wasn't a good day according to them. They are hoping that they'll do better in the subsequent contest from here.
On all the debts that Ghana owes them should be restructured. This was after all the two parties finally agreed on the terms through the memorandum of understanding. The development may also pave the way for a formal agreement to be signed in Paris, France next week. Joy Business is learning that the official creditor committee has already reached